So your potential signage is really only as good as your plan. So you have to plan. It's not just what's on the screens. It's the whole deployment, and there's a lot of back-end stuff that you have to consider. You need to know what you're going to achieve. You're going to need to know who's going to make which contributions, how you're going to physically install and connect this system, and how it's all going to work. You have to plan out a bunch of stuff before you get a single screen going up live. This is not just a out-of-the-box kind of a thing. So the question you might ask is, how do we make sure that the deployment goes as smoothly as possible? And the answer, of course, is planning. To that end, we're here with Sean Matthews, President and CEO of Vizix. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Derek. I again appreciate you having me in here today. And
Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, when I received the email from me about this, I thought, man, what am I going to talk about here? And I thought, well, I kind of started sketching stuff down on paper. And to your point, you have to plan. And I put down eight little bullet points, and I thought, hey, we need to cover these eight things.
So. That's great. You had to plan to talk about planning.
That's correct. Yeah.
I love that. Well, thank you for coming, and thank you, everybody, for listening.
This is Digital Signage Done Right. Whether you're new to digital signage or a seasoned pro, this podcast gives you practical advice about systems, communications, and content to better engage your audience. I'm Derek DeWitt, Communications Specialist for Vizix. Welcome to Digital Signage Done Right.
So let's get right into your eight steps. What's the first step?
Well, I mean, if you're going to have a plan, you're probably going to have to involve other people. And it's a key piece.
It's not a one-man job.
It's not a one-man job. Yeah, the army of one isn't really scalable. So we figured that we would have more involved. So you do have to have a team. And I'm not going to pick on the IT people. But I will say this. We often run into deployment situations where IT sort of takes over the entire project, because in most cases, these devices reside on the network and they're tied to displays, and the sort of blur between AV and IT certainly happens everywhere. And so what we try to avoid when we talk to people about putting together a plan is not just letting IT run the show. Obviously, IT has an important part in the plan, but you also need the content people, those people that are responsible for creating and maintaining the content that appears on screen, how it looks, how it feels, and how often it's going to be updated, and the tone that it conveys.
Right.
It's extremely important, and that has nothing to do with IT. It just doesn't, right?
They're probably from marketing or something.
Yeah, so Marcom and often HR people are involved in that conversation. Mm-hmm. You might have people from facilities that are responsible for fire alarm systems and other things like that, providing direction and guidance. You might have productivity teams that are involved in the conversation because they want to show productivity information. And really all of this, you really need a champion that's sort of spearheading the motivation among all of these departments to be involved, so that the material that ends up on screen is powerful and meaningful, and it causes changes in human behavior.
Right. So you just have to have somebody who just thinks this is the best thing since sliced bread.
I mean, you really do. You have to have somebody that just loves what they're doing in terms of what ends up on, in the hallways and on the manufacturing floor and in the dining hall.
Right. Number two.
So I thought about number two. I was trying to put it in some kind of logical order, so I may not be completely in order. But as you assemble the team, the next thing that you need to do is really decide on, what are our goals? Like, what are we trying to do? What are our objectives? I ask this question often. So why are you putting in this digital signage medium? And sometimes you get the response, which is, well, we just think we should. And, when you start drilling into that, it's because
our competitors are doing it.
Yeah, the Joneses are doing it. We're trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
And so that just doesn't really work. I mean, that you can get it off the ground that way, but you're not going to be very productive and effective over the long haul if that's what you choose to do. So plan out some goals. How are you going to use the technology? What are your strategies? What are your tactics? Are you going to do campaigns? Are you going to use one-off ads? Are you going to use one-off messages? Are you going to segment your organization so that different people see different things? You want to really nail down with all the stakeholders, what does facilities want to do versus HR, versus sales versus production? Like, you need to nail it down for sure.
Yeah, because they're not necessarily going to have the same goals or desires.
Right. And of course, you know, IT fits into this conversation, because if you said, hey, we want to import or connect to data sources that are outside this facility, well, IT definitely has a responsibility there, because they're going to want to know, how is this technology leaving this facility, going out into the cloud or out on the web, and, you know, pulling data back into our facility, right? So that, you know, so IT certainly has a role in this, and you know, I don't want to diminish that at all, but you know, I want to make sure that when you're thinking about a team, it's not just technology people. Right. You know, it's HR people. You want to draw out the workflows in terms of how these people are going to contribute to the technology, and as they contribute, what does it look like on screen? Yeah. And you know, it has to make sense for your organization and how your organization operates and how those people interact with these workflows.
Right. Next up.
So, you know, again,
three.
I guess this is number three. Okay. So, you know, now we have the technology, we have a team, we all have our different objectives, and then we want to define our audience and what it is that they're going to see on screen. What kind of content are they going to see? You know, how are they going to fit into all the other communication channels like email, web, intranet, whatever social media technologies or platforms you're using? How much detail are we going to provide on these signs versus directing them to other platforms? So should our messages be very clean and simple on these displays, but directing them to our Twitter feed or our Facebook
intranet?
Yep. Intranet, yeah. Whatever. And you know, you want to list out as much of the content that you want to include as possible. And here's a great example. So the MarCom departments might say, we want to put these public service announcements up on these screens. Well, the reality is, unfortunately, marketing team, those public service announcements are 2 minutes long. And we have a vehicle here, right, that people are just going to pass by. Yeah. And if I have about 7 seconds, maybe 9 seconds to convey a message in an elevator bay area, they're not going to watch a 2 minute public service announcement. So, you know, you've got to think about the types of content that you're going to show on screen. And often we run into situations where it's not just long videos, but somebody says, well, we want to incorporate PDFs. Oh. So think about this gorgeous display. And then there's a white page that appears on this display with
teeny text.
Yes, tiny text, right? 8-point, 10-point font that nobody can read.
Right.
So, you know, think about those content sources. And then, of course, what you really want to do is focus on data integration with other applications, so that as changes occur in those applications, those changes show up on screen and there's no additional human intervention. So it's not like we have to go back to Derek to change whatever message.
Right, because it's been set up and it just goes automatically.
Yeah, automatically happens, which reduces the workload on the team to keep the content fresh, which really ties into things like subscription feeds and other content sources. You know, subscription feeds, you could think of it as being like, well, that's just like boring stuff that we're paying money for, but it's not really. People pass by digital signs that have stock information on them, and they're wondering, is the stock market up or down? Maybe they didn't have a chance to see the news, or they didn't think about it. They also maybe want to know what's going on in world events. And I'm not talking about blood news. I'm talking about news that's, you know, relevant and important, but it keeps me abreast of like what might be going on socially, politically, or just in the world around me. And, you know, that's an important thing, because those feeds come from a lot reliable sources that, you know, end up on screen. And they're often hooks to get me to look at the real message, which is productivity is down, right? Or
get to work. Stop looking at this sign.
You got it.
Get to your office. Number four.
So then I was thinking about, all right, well, there's a lot of display technology out there, and where would we put these displays? And I mentioned just a few minutes ago that like elevator bays are a great place. Any place where people congregate, those are important places to have electronic signs or electronic information, right? You could be projected, it could be on displays, big displays, small displays, electronic ink displays. It doesn't have to be LED. They could be see-through displays. Like that, all these display technologies.
I've seen those. Yeah, they're cool. Yeah, yeah.
Changing dramatically, man. So you have to decide if you want touch screens, are you going to do video walls, are you going to do kiosk for interactive self-service? There's a lot of stuff that you could think about there. But certainly hallway intersections, as people walk down the hall, they may look forward and see that those messages. You can do long murals along the wall that as I walk, the information flows with me, or maybe the opposite direction. elevator bays. You know, people congregate in break rooms. You know, there's a lot of places when you think about
lobbies.
Yeah, where people congregate, right? Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing, you bring up lobbies, man, because a lot of people talk about lobbies, and often that's one of those things where they say, hey, our competitors are doing it. But when you do produce a big lobby video wall, that content is often not geared to me as the employee, because in big organizations, a lot of employees don't even come through the lobbies, other entrances, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you think about where you want to, you know, put information, also think about what type of information you're going to put on those specific endpoints. So in one company, we could have a manufacturing arm in part of a building, a massive building. We could have dining areas inside of that building. And so manufacturing productivity information is different than menu boards in the dining areas, right? And then, of course, in other parts of our facility, we might have office workers that really have nothing to do with production or manufacturing, and they're going to be better.
And don't care.
They don't. And you're right. They're going to be better influenced by other types of content and other, you know, intersections in their building. So displays, you know, I think is certainly an important piece of the puzzle. And
right.
You know, it kind of rolls into, you know, we got a handful to go. I think I said I had 8 bullet points. Yeah. So
eight of these. And you mentioned interactive screens and kiosks too. I think it's actually required in the United States. You have to be ADA compliant as well, and that's a whole factor that'll depend on where you place them, and a lot of choices will be made and affected by something like that as well.
You're right. If you're going to incorporate interactivity and to meet ADA compliance, they have to obviously be mounted at a certain height, or you have to provide that person with an equivalent, you know, access to those, to that information. And of course, a lot of people are creating content with customization in mind, so that my on-screen experience can be different while I interact with that screen, particularly in, you know, wayfinding or directories and that kind of stuff. So yeah, that's certainly a valid point there.
Okay. So now we're on number 5.
Okay. So networks, I was thinking about networks, and people always ask, oh, can it be wireless? And yes, it can be wireless. It can be wired, but you do have to conduct a network survey. You know, where's this stuff going to reside in our buildings, plural. Do we have good Wi-Fi coverage there? Do we want to expose these devices, you know, to the Wi-Fi channels that we have in our, you know, on our network? You know, do these devices need internet access or not? So certainly a network survey is important. And are we going to use power over Ethernet to power these devices? And do we have enough switches to provide those powered endpoints? Then, of course, the hardware component of it, where's the hardware going to live? Who's going to maintain it? What about in the future? Who's going to manage the life of the hardware? Because if you think about any device, you know, technology ages out pretty quickly, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, you think about your mobile devices or anything in your home, with the exception of like the basic television. But even since the advent of LCD TV, if you think about that, you started off with plasma, you ended up with LCD, LED, and then we just keep going. And you went from, you know, standard definition to high definition to 4K to 8K. I mean, it changes quick.
I just heard, I just read this article. It was something stupid like 80K or something some company has just developed, and they're going to start making it available commercially like next year. Like, that's preposterous. I don't even know if the human eye can see all that.
Well, what I tell you is a pretty fascinating thing. If you roll back, you know, just, you know, about 15 to 18 years ago when plasma first started coming out on the market, even plasma televisions were $10,000, $15,000 for one television. And so then ultimately LCD comes along, then you end up with LED, and you have, you know, all these other technologies that continue to advance. But the time from plasma to LCD in terms of consumer adoption was quite long. But then when you start moving from HD to 4K, that time frame got collapsed dramatically.
Yeah, it was short.
Yeah, and it's going to be short from 4K to 8K. Mm. And so that, you know, that poses a challenge for the people that are responsible for maintaining the hardware life cycle, because the technology is going to age out pretty quickly, and the creative teams that are putting content on screen, they're going to want to know why it's not 4K or 8K or whatever's next.
And you would design a little differently for those resolutions.
That's correct. Think, yes. You know? If not, you're scaling
we
up.
We can't do that on that. What are you, crazy? Look terrible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's a key component, which really leads right into, you know, building a budget. So, you know, you've got this initial deployment, which is probably going to be some kind of operational expense, OPEX expense. And, you know, it's going to cost money to get it up and running. But really beyond that is, how do you keep it alive for 3 years, 5 years, whatever your, you know, time frame looks like before you reevaluate the technology, because you're going to have things like ongoing services as you expand, you know, the technology. You're going to have installation fees to deploy these other technologies. And people always forget about this. There's training, right? So we,
sure.
Yeah, we train the staff of people. Let's say it's 3, 5, 10 people up front, and they all kind of get it and they understand the technology. But there's turnover in every business, right? And so we lose a key person. How do we train, you know, up the next group of people? And so ongoing training is always important, not only because of turnover, but because features change in these technologies, right? There's always evolution.
Right. You know, the very least are bug fixes.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's going to be, but there's always going to be feature enhancements and feature improvements. And in fact, there could be just brand new features that didn't exist before. And, you know, there might be a steep learning curve to whatever those features look like. We have one feature in an upcoming release that what the whole interface is designed to do is tied to room booking and the interactivity between room booking. But the little widgets that we can drop onto this display from our design tool, there are more than 400 properties in these widgets that can be manipulated to create an experience that's unique and different for your business versus somebody else.
So that's why you have to plan it out in advance and say, okay, what are we trying to accomplish? Who are our audiences? Well, who are we communicating with? Why are we communicating? So you can make those decisions, because you can't stick all of them up there. That would be ridiculous.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we've kind of gone through the hardware stuff. And then, you know, I was like, well, you know, what's more important, hardware or software? And I'm not going to say that it's more important, but I would choose the software first, because there are a lot of hardware technologies out there for driving video walls and endpoints and all kinds of stuff, right? But if you choose software for organizational communications that was originally designed for retail deployments, then the workflows don't really make a lot of sense. Because in an organization, what we're tasked with doing in an enterprise organization, we're tasked with getting information up on screen about 401k open enrollment, you know, safety statistics, safety advisements, you know, information that is succinct and to the point, which is not the same as the workflows that might be associated with an ad agency that is putting really cool, Clinique ads, you know, it displays in Clinique counters in shopping centers, right? Wow. Two different things, which, you know, if you think just simply about flight information display systems at the airport, the workflows to produce that data on screen are very different than what might be associated with, you know, days without incident on our manufacturing floor. It's mm-hmm. just different in the yeah. way it's delivered and how it's set up. So,
plus, that's the thing. I mean, somebody's going to have to use this software every day.
Every day. Yep. Yeah. And, the last one, in terms of it making sense, you might not be convinced that this is going to make sense for your organization. So I know our sales teams would hate that I would even mention this, but you should consider a pilot. You know, companies like ours and others, and they're not overly, you know, excited about pilots, because they often take a lot of time, and it's often difficult to get the client to really put down their goals and objectives on paper before you start the pilot. It's kind of like, we just want to see it work. We all know the technology works, right?
Yeah, we see it every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but, you know, what do you want it to accomplish in your organization? So just seeing it work, I don't really call that a pilot. That's like just a proof of, does it work?
Right.
It's not even a proof of concept. But if you put a pilot in place, you can identify areas of weakness in your own organization, your organizational workflows. You know, democratization may not exist in your business model, and therefore it might be hard to get, you know, unique groups to contribute to the content creation process, which might lead you to say, huh, if we're going to do this, we're going to have to dedicate a body or a portion of someone's time, you know, full-time equivalent, you know, to actually do this work.
There must be, you must have in the back of your head sort of a top mistakes that people make. There must be boo-boos that people make that they can avoid when trying to buy digital signage.
Yeah, I think, man, the one that stands out, and I alluded to at the very beginning, and that is not getting the people involved who are actually going to use the system. You know, it becomes like a technology-driven conversation, and that's the number one shortcoming. Because I have gone back to clients, you know, 6, 7 months after it's up and running, and I ask, like, hey, man, so what do you think? They're like, it's okay. And it reminds me of those commercials on that are like recently, it's like, it's good. Like, what do you mean it's not great? Like, you spent a bunch of money with us. It should be great, right?
Yeah.
And then when you go out and look at the content and you realize that It was a technology-driven discussion, and the right people aren't involved in maintaining the content. And it looks like it did the day we left, and it hasn't changed since. And that's like, that's the big mistake, is just not involving the right people. Oftentimes people fall in love with hardware because it's kind of like the new iPhone. Well, you fall in love with the new iPhone because of the features that are built into the hardware. But, you know, I'm not picking on the iPhone, but, you know, over time, what really drives the iPhone are all the other apps that show up on that phone. It's not just the camera or just the facial recognition, right? Those are hardware pieces that over time you're going to use those, but new hardware features are going to come out on other platforms. And, you know, just
buy. Yeah, how come mine doesn't do that?
Yeah, you're dead on, man. So, you know, falling in love with the hardware and then trying to find software to fit on that hardware, I think that's a mistake. Yeah, right. That's one that we see. And then, of course, you know, a little bit of this, and we do see this, rely on one person to do it all, and it does.
Right, here you go, Josie.
Yep.
And good luck.
Oftentimes, man, what's interesting is it becomes like someone who's a mid-tier IT person, right? Because it became an IT project. And right. All of a sudden, you know, they now are the owners and they're supposed to be the evangelists. They weren't ever the evangelists. I mean, they were the guys that said, hey, man, yeah, we'll make this happen.
We can make it work, yeah. But I don't care.
Yeah. And so then all of a sudden they're stuck with being the one person that's responsible for it all.
Right.
I
mean, and frankly, they couldn't give a toss.
Yeah. And their real job is to maintain the network infrastructure right. of the building or whatever. And this doesn't really, you know, fit. And so, you know, that's not only a mistake, but then, you know, there's even misconceptions with this technology.
It's still expensive.
Yep. And it's easy to say it's expensive, you know, and if you think about the CapEx expense up front of, you know, putting a bunch of displays and infrastructure in a building, yeah, I mean, there's an upfront cost to get it up and running. Whether you choose a cloud service or not, there's hardware expenses. Now, you can lease that stuff, you can amateurize it, you can do all kinds of things. But there is some cost to do it. But when you compare the effectiveness of this technology versus just printed signs and the byproducts of printed signs and the labor associated with installing, taking them down, all that stuff, man, this is actually a relatively cost-effective way to communicate with transient audiences in your building. You have tried email, you've tried internet, you've tried social media. Try to get your employees to follow your social media accounts and engage in those accounts. And it's tough to do. So, you know, you have this passing audience, and this is a great vehicle. You know, a lot of people think it's complicated to set up. It's not really that complicated. I mean, we do it every day, and it's easy for me to say that. But when you get down to it, the three main pieces, aside from design, there's a content management server, either on-premise or in the cloud, and there's a media player tied to a display, and there's a little network infrastructure in there. That's it.
And a display.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's it. So it's not that ineffective from a cost perspective. Right. And, you know, it's not complicated to run. You know, most of these technologies by most companies in the space right now, a lot of cloud-based interfaces or, you know, browser-based interfaces that allow you to log in and, you know, schedule when, where, and how long do you want content to play. And it's basically that simple.
Is it, what about environmental concerns? I mean, I could see some people, obviously paper degrades, it's got ink in it, it goes into a landfill, it leaks into the earth, and, you know, nothing grows there for two generations. On the one hand, on the other hand, this is using electricity quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, it is using electricity. I mean, and all technologies use electricity. But in the world that we live in today, and as we continue forward over time, you know, we're not going to be depleting natural resources. You know, we're going to rely on solar energy and wind energy and lots of other things. So it does consume electricity, but the amounts that it's consuming, when you look at LED consumption versus plasma consumption in terms of power, it's far less. And, you know, we're not burning as much coal, and, you know, it'd be better if we could cut down fewer trees. So
right.
You know, I think that, you know, I don't have any data with me to indicate how much of, you know, less it consumes by comparison, but I think we could all agree that technology is ubiquitous, and the ubiquitous nature of that technology is that it all consumes power.
I think we can see that it is here to stay. This is the technological age. So you can see, really, you got to plan. A digital signage system. You just have to do it, or else you're doing yourself and your audience a disservice, and you might be wasting time and money. Thank you, Sean, for talking to me today.
All right. Thank you, Derek.
And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Hey, want more free stuff? then head to the resources section of physics.com for free masterclass guides, blogs, videos, and more to help you with your digital signs. Please share, subscribe, and leave a review of this episode, and connect with us on social media.